Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, the fact that quite a lot of people think Labour's putative Secretary of State for Health, Wes Streeting, is a very poor choice might be filtering through to Labour's high command. Over the weekend, the Observer newspaper, effectively the Sunday edition of The Guardian, might have let the cat out of the bag. The Observer is an awkward fit on the newsstand. If I was going to buy anything to read on a Sunday, I'd probably buy the weekend edition of the Financial Times. It has pages of insight, really good columnists and high-quality magazines. In fact, I do buy it, and it takes me a week to get through it. The Sunday Times, well, it's an avalanche of stuff and puff. The tabloids, well, they're the tabloids. And the Telegraph, well, I always feel the Telegraph makes stuff up. I know that's a foul calumny on the journalists who work there, but I just don't trust it. So we're back to the Observer. It's the one paper that will still have copies on the newsstand's rack, windswept and dog-eared on a Tuesday. In 1977, the Astors sold the Observer newspaper to Richfield, they sold it to Lonrow, and in 1993, the Independent tried to buy it, but it ended up as part of the Guardian. That was then, this is now. The Observer's circulation is only about 137,000, and that's roughly everyone in Brighton buying a copy. Why does this matter? Well, it's about authority. Does the Observer have any authority, any clout? Can we rely on what it tells us? It's a long time since they've had a scoop, and nothing like the Daily Express tracking down Ronnie Biggs in 1974 or the Guardian's investigation into phone hacking in 2011. In fairness, I suppose I should mention the Telegraph's MP's expenses thing in 2009. You have to go back to 1999. New Labour insiders offer secrets for cash, and that was the Observer's Anthony Barnett and Greg Pallast, and John Major's secret links with the IRA leadership revealed in the Observer by Anthony Bevins, Eamon Malley, and Mary Holland in 1993, which wasn't helpful to the MP who was desperate to open back channels to end the battle with the IRA. Since then, not much from the Observer, so whether or not this Sunday's headline is much of a scoop, don't know. Anyway, it said, and I linked to it in the e-letter this morning, quote, Labour ditches radical reforms as it prepares bomb-proof election manifesto. Now, the thrust of the article was Labour is nervous about an ambitious manifesto in case the nasty Tories pick holes in it. Well, you could view this as a wise piece of strategy at a time when who really knows what kind of a situation the Treasury is in, what shape the world will be in, and what kind of majority an incoming Labour government might enjoy. Well, the Observer reports, and I quote, Labour is planning only limited first-term reforms of social care and the House of Lords and a smaller green investment plan as part of a stripped-down general election manifesto as it seeks to make its politics bomb-proof to Tory attacks. The Observer tells us, as well as backing away from its £28 billion a year commitment on green investment, Labour will not seek to legislate on the creation of a new national care service and its first King's Speech. Chalmers wants to, as the Observer reports, and I quote, offer as small a target as possible to the Tories on issues such as social care. Well, look, it's true, social care is complex and involves thousands of small companies contracting with local authorities to provide care packages, and the care home sector, either broken with mama papa shops hanging on by a thread or some pretty ugly venture cap type outfits sending profits out of UK tax jurisdiction. The solution, a national care service, is likely to be a wholesale nationalisation. Ooh, ouch, no, don't say that. Or a massive piece of legislation to prescribe statutory training and sector-wide minimum wage. Labour is trying to tell us they're not Liz Truss, and so are the Tories. Although I like more politicians with more guts, silly boy Streeting's threatening onslaught on NHS managers, GP partnerships and NHS England looks like looks like it might have to wait. The NHS needs a period of calm, reliable funding, and the time and space to get back on its feet, bring down waiting lists, and it does not need West Streeting. Well, we can only hope the Observer has another scoop. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again real soon. Bye-bye now.